Romans chapter number 5, if you turn with me in your Bibles, please. Romans chapter number 5. We are going to look at verse number 12 through the end of the chapter. We're going to look at Adam in Christ. Adam in Christ. I was at the fair yesterday, and we were there at the tent, and folks were coming by, and I offered a fellow a bottle of water, and he looked at me, and I know what he was thinking. How much does it cost? And we said, it's free. And he said, there's nothing free in this world. And what a great setup he made. And I said, there are two things, this bottle of water and salvation through Jesus Christ. And what a great opportunity to share Christ with him. But we're going to look at Adam, and we're going to look at Christ here today in Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 12 of Romans 5. The Bible says this: wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But none, not of the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is to many offenses unto justification. There was a man by the name of James Ryle. Now pastors in Texas, but before he got into the ministry, James was just 2 years old. His father was sent to prison, and when he was seven, the authorities placed him in an orphanage. And then at the age of 19, his bio goes on to tell us that he was in a car wreck, and one of his friends were killed. And he lived a life of sin. He lived a life of doing some things that he regrets. And he was arrested for that lifestyle. He was charged with a felony. He was sent to prison. And while James was in prison, he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he accepted Christ as a Savior. And what a wonderful testimony that is. And after he had served his time, he went to school, and he eventually got into the ministry, and he's pastoring a church today. Years later, though, after he was out and he found his biological father, he wanted to reconcile with his father, and they began to talk. And obviously, as they began to talk, prison life came up, and they began to talk about their life and the fact that both of them had spent some time in prison. And James's father asked him, which prison were you in? And when he told his father what prison he was in, his father was shocked. He said, when I was in prison, they used me as a welder to construct prisons. And he said, I helped build that prison that you were in. Boy, that really struck James. He said, imagine I was in the prison that my father built for me. It really struck him. You know, the reality is this: because of Adam, all of us are born in the prison of sin. Our father Adam, he sinned, and here in Romans chapter 5, we see the contrast between Adam, and we see the contrast between him and Christ. And today I just want to look at these things about Adam and look at the difference that Christ makes in our life. Because of Adam, all of us were born into the prison of sin, and it was built by our father. And we are, before Christ, before salvation, we are awaiting the death penalty. The reality is this: every single one of us are born into this world. We're born into sin. We're sinners. And we will one day, if we have not trusted in Jesus Christ, we will have to pay for our own sin debt. And so we find here, Paul is discussing and talking about Adam, and he's going to tell us about Christ as well. The first Adam built a prison, but the second Adam, that's Jesus Christ, he purchased our freedom. The first Adam built that prison for us, but the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he purchased our freedom upon the cross. And I want us to see in verse number 12 through verse number 14 again. Let me read verse number 12 again for you. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that one man is Adam. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, you would find where Adam was told that you could eat of any fruit that you wanted, except this one tree. He and Eve, his wife Eve, were told they could have anything except that one tree. But we find this, the story tells us in Genesis that they ate of that tree, and because they ate of that tree, sin entered into this world. And we find here in verse number 12, by one man, sin entered the world. That's Adam. That was that event there in the garden. In death by sin. And so because man sinned, death now is entered into the world. We find going on, the Bible says this, and so death passed upon all men. That is you and that is I. Every single person that was born into this world after Adam had sinned, every single human being, death has now passed upon upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. If you were to find each person that was born from Adam to Moses, you know what you would find? Each of them died. If you go through the Bible, you'll find that this one was born and this one died. This person was born and this one died. Every single person that's been born into this world has died. And the reason that they've died is because of sin. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that hath not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. I want us to see this morning, the first I'd like us to see is this. Adam represents us, but Christ redeems us. Adam represents us, but it's Christ. He redeems us. The very first epidemic recorded in human history was called the Black Death. That was later known as the bubonic plague. It started in China, they say, around 1334. This bubonic plague, this Black Death began, and it quickly spread. It didn't just stay in China. It tells us this. History tells us that it went to Persia and Russia. It went into Europe, and before it was over, around 60 million people, history tells us, became infected by this plague. It's a terrible plague. 60 million people were affected by this. But as bad as that was, the truth is this. What Adam did, that sin that Adam had done, it's a worse epidemic than the bubonic plague. That one was a universal epidemic, and every single person born into this world now is born into sin. Every single person born into this world is born, and they're going to die. The Bible says this, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every single person, because of Adam, because of what Adam did, and sin now is upon all men, because of that sin, there will be death. This is not just a universal disease or a universal epidemic, it's a terminal disease. It means this, there will be death. Man has for centuries tried to find a cure and searched every way except the truth, and that truth, the only way that man could have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Religion tries to tell man something else, and good works try to cause someone to get something they can't have. But the reality is this, because of sin, there is death. It's terminal disease. Not only did sin enter the world, but death came on its heels. So when Adam sinned, death was right behind him. Death is a proof of sin. And even though the law wasn't given until Moses came along, the record of history that tells us this, that from Adam to Moses, every single person has died. I want you to see the end of verse number 12, if you would be with me, please. The Bible says this, for that all have sinned. You see, there are some that might say this, it's not fair. So Adam chose to sin, and I get punished for it. How is that fair? So Adam was in the garden and he chose to sin. And because he chose to sin, now every single person born into this world, now they have to experience death. Someone might say this, I don't want Adam to represent me. You know, I thought about this. There's some that may not have voted for the president in the last election, but you know what? He can still send your sons and he can still send your daughters to war, because he is our representative. You may not agree with everything your senators do, but they still represent you in Congress. Maybe you say, I don't want a political illustration, then I'll use this sports illustration. What happens when a member of your favorite football team jumps off sides? The entire team is penalized. The entire team has to pay for that infraction, because that player represents the entire team. You see, he's not just acting for himself. And this is what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter number 5. He's saying this. He's teaching us this, the idea of representation. The consequences of Adam's sin came to bear on all humankind. Every single human being from the time of Adam till today, they are born with a sin nature, and they are born and they're going to die because of that sin nature. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't change that. There's many that think that they're going to try to do good works, and their good works will outweigh their bad works. The fact of the matter is this: one bad work, one bad sin is enough for you to have to pay for that sin. It's enough for the consequence of death. There's no one that's righteous, the Bible says. Every single one of us have sinned. Someone might say this, if I was in the garden, I wouldn't have sinned like Adam would have. And the reality is this, if we were in the garden, we would have sinned just like Adam would have sinned. And we might have even have done it sooner than Adam had done it. The reality is this, we're human. The reality is this, we are going to sin. You say, I don't like this doctrine, this thought of representation. I don't like the fact that Adam represents me. I don't like the fact that I was born into this world with a sin nature because of what someone else has done. It's just not fair. And although Adam is our representative, I want us to realize this, that Christ also represents us. You see, someone doesn't have to stay stuck in their sin. Although you were born with this sin nature, although you were born into this world, and because of sin, we will experience death, because Adam represents us, we must realize this, that Christ also can represent us. Not only did Adam act on our behalf, Christ also acted on our behalf. And Paul is going to tell us that here in the next several verses that we read, what Jesus Christ did. You know, it's not fair. Someone might complain. It's not fair that Adam represents me. I would say this. It's not fair that Jesus Christ had to come and die in our place. It's not fair that he had to come and be hung on the cross. It's not fair that he had to take every sin that you and I have ever committed, ever will commit, and bear it upon the tree. But he still did it anyways, because he loves you and he loves me. I want us to see, secondly, here in this verse here as well, in verse number 15, the Bible says this, but not of the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. You see, he says this, but not as the offense. So every single person, every single person born into this world is going to be born into sin, but more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. In verse number 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And we have learned what justification is previously as we've studied through the book of Romans. We find that justification is simply to try to understand it just as if I had never sinned. Those that have trusted in Jesus Christ, those that have received this free gift that he speaks of here of salvation, those when God sees us after we're saved, he sees us just as if we have never sinned. He sees us in Christ. He doesn't see us in our sin nature. He sees us forgiven. In verse number 16, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, speaking of Adam, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, and that is Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to see this. First, Adam represents us, but Christ redeems us. Secondly, Adam's disobedience, it brought us ruin. Adam's disobedience brought us ruin, but Christ's obedience brought righteousness. Paul is saying this in these verses here. Adam's disobedience, it brought us ruin. It brought us sin. It brought us death. But aren't you glad it didn't end there? It didn't stay there. You don't have to live in your sin. You don't have to pay your own sin debt. You don't have to live in ruin. Christ, his obedience, it brought righteousness. Every single person can be seen righteous before God because of what Jesus Christ had done upon the cross. These verses are some of the richest in the entire Bible. I want to continue reading in verse number 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, speaking of Adam there, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift, speaking of Jesus Christ there, one of the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And so verse 18 says that sin came because of Adam's offense, but justification came because of what Jesus Christ did. In verse number 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Again, he's speaking of Adam. He says, because of Adam's sin, because of Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so verse number 19, he's speaking of Adam and Christ again. He says, because of Adam's offense, because of Adam's sin, many are made sinners, but because of what Jesus Christ did, because of his work upon the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, because of that, many are made righteous. You see that verse number 19 right there? That ought to show you and tell you that there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. If there was any other way, Christ wouldn't have had to come. If there was any other way to be righteous or be redeemed or be justified, then Jesus would not have had to come. If someone tells you it's through good works or it's through religion or it's through any other way, what they're saying is against the Word of God, because the Word of God says this, and Paul is saying this, sin came because of Adam. Justification, righteousness came because of Jesus Christ. Adam's disobedience brought ruin, but Christ's obedience, it brought righteousness. In verse number 15, let's just go back up a few verses here, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. I want you to see this as we look at this Christ's obedience as it brings righteousness. I want you to see in verse number 15, God's gift releases us from bankruptcy. In Adam, we're all spiritually bankrupt. In Adam, spiritually, we're going to die. In Adam, we're sinners. In Adam, we can't do anything good in ourselves. In Adam, we were going to pay for the price of our sin. In Adam, we are spiritually bankrupt. Because Adam's spiritual account was empty, yours and mine is as well. Nobody is born into this world a good person. Each person born into this world is born with this spiritual count that Adam has passed down, and that is this, we're spiritually bankrupt. And we find this, that because Adam's spiritual account was empty, ours is too, but the work of Christ, it credits my account. What Jesus Christ did, it credits my account. Now I'm no longer bankrupt, I'm a child of God and heir to his riches. And the only way to receive that is through Jesus Christ. We were at the fair this week and talking to a lot of folks that would pass by the tent. And well, when you ask someone about salvation, or you ask someone if they were to die, do they know where they're going to go? The answers you get are amazing. They're amazing. Some want nothing to do with it. Some say when you ask them, they'd walk by and we'd give them some information about the church, give them a track and give them a bottle of water. We'd give them to start that conversation and then ask them, where would you spend eternity? And many of them would not want to even to talk about that. Yesterday afternoon, I was there and one of the men we were talking to there, I asked this man, if you were to die, where would you spend eternity? And his answer was this: I would hope, it's in heaven, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody could really be for sure. And boy, we could go right to the scripture and we could show someone that you can know for sure because of what Jesus Christ did. The reality is this: we were born with a sin nature. In each and every one of us that were born, we do not deserve heaven. We cannot merit heaven. We cannot obtain heaven in our own strength, in our own works, because we were born sinners. But we can know for sure that we have eternal life. We can know for sure that we're justified. We can know for sure that we can be made righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. And when someone says this, I don't know for sure, and I don't know if anyone could really know, the answer to that is this: Romans chapter number 5. No, you can know because of what Jesus Christ has done. You can know for sure that you can have a home in heaven. You can know for sure that you're not spiritually bankrupt. You can know for sure that you're an heir to His riches. You're a child of God. And not from any other way other than knowing this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. There was a missionary. He had a good friend that was an Indian. He was a pearl diver. And he was a missionary there to India, and they had discussed salvation for many hours, but this Hindu man, this man there from India, he couldn't believe that it could be a free gift, like Paul mentions here in Romans chapter 5. He just couldn't understand that. He believed that salvation could come by walking the 900 miles to Delhi on his knees, and the missionary said that salvation was so costly that Jesus had to buy it for us. He was telling this man, this Hindu man, this man in India, this Indian pearl diver, he was telling him this, that salvation was costly. It was costly. It's free to us, but it did cost something. It cost Jesus Christ his life. Before he left on this pilgrimage, as the missionary and this Indian man spoke, before he left on his pilgrimage, the Indian gave the missionary the largest and the most perfect pearl he had ever seen. The pearl diver explained that his own son had lost his life getting this pearl from the bottom of the sea. The missionary took this pearl, thanked him, and insisted. He insisted that he pay for it. The Hindu man was offended, saying that there is no price that could be paid for the pearl that cost his son his life. Then and there, the truth dawned. That is why Christians insist that no one can pay for salvation. It costs God the death of His only begotten Son. Salvation, here we find it is a free gift in verse number 15, but not of the offense. See, so also is the free gift. It is a free gift to you and I, but it did cost Jesus Christ His life. It did cost God the death of His Son. Then and there the truth came to be. Then and there the Indian man, that Hindu man understood and saw. This is why it cost God the death of His Son. And to think that we could pay for it, insults. It's an insult. Grace is free to you and to me, but it cost God His only begotten Son. Verse number 16, the Bible goes on to say this: and not as it was by one that sinned, speaking of Adam, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I want us to see, secondly, is this: God's gift, it releases us from blame. God's gift releases us from blame. You see, the effect of Adam's sin upon us was condemnation. We're condemned. The effect that Adam has upon you and me is we're condemned. We're sinners and we deserve death. But the sacrifice of Christ, it was different. That free gift of Jesus Christ, it was made available to us, justification. You and I, what we receive from Adam is sin. What we receive from Adam is death. But what we receive from Christ is justification. I can be justified. I can be made righteous before God because of the free gift that Jesus Christ gave to us. So we find this, God's gift, it releases us from blame. When God sees us, if we're in Christ, he doesn't see us as sinners. He sees us in Christ. He sees us as righteous. In verse number 17, I need to move on here as well. For if by one man offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, under our second point, I want us to see this. God's gift, it releases us from bondage. Though Adam's sin, it reigned in all of us. But listen to this. Through receiving Christ's grace and gift of righteousness, we overcome and we reign in life. We can overcome sin because of Jesus Christ. We're born into bondage. Every single human being born into this world is born into bondage. They're born into sin. There's not one person that can say that I was born without sin. Each and every one of us were born into bondage, but we don't have to stay there. God's gift releases us from bondage, according to verse number 17. We overcome and we reign. In other words, because of Adam, we live as slaves, but because of Christ, we can reign as kings. Because of Adam, we are a slave to sin, but because of Christ, we are free from that bondage of sin. I read a story of the last emperor of China. He lived a life of luxury, and the story tells us this. There was 1,000 servants that were at his command. One day, the brother of this emperor asked him, "What happens when you do wrong?" And the emperor answered into this, "When I do wrong, somebody else pays for it." So if he does anything, and somebody, one of his servants get to pay for it. And he demonstrated it by breaking a jar, and he broke something, and one of his servants, they were beaten for what the emperor just did. He had 1,000 servants that were going to pay for anything he ever did wrong. In Christianity, Jesus reverses that ancient pattern. When the servant, that's us, when we make a mistake, Jesus Christ went to the cross. When you and I sin, Jesus Christ, he went and paid for our sin debt. Instead of us being condemned eternally for our sins, Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for our sin debt. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if he lived your life so that he could treat you as if you lived his life. You know, we can live as kings, and we see that in verse number 17. God's gift released us from bondage. Jesus Christ took our sin upon the cross and paid for our sin debt so that we do not have to continue to live in bondage. Verse number 20, if you would follow along with me there, if you would please. Verse number 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Look with me here, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Boy, if you're saved, that ought to excite you there. You ought to say amen right there. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If you're sitting here today and you say, "I'm not saved. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm living in sin. I'm a bondage of sin." I want you to see verse number 20. It says, "Moreover, the law entered, but the offense might abound." But where sin abounded, if you're living in sin, you need to know this. Grace did much more abound. There's no sin that you've ever committed that grace, the grace to save you, isn't greater. There's not a person in this room that has ever committed a sin that God's grace can't forgive, that Jesus Christ, his payment on the cross, did not pay for. You can't be too bad of a sinner for Jesus Christ to save you. I've talked to some, they say this, you know, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the sins I've done. You don't know the things that I've fought. You don't know the actions that I've committed. You don't know what I've done against these people or people in my family. You don't know the things that I've done. And what our answer to that is this, then you don't know who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you, because where your sin abounded, grace abounded greater. It means this, God's grace is greater than any sin that you've ever committed. Going on, the Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thirdly, I want you to see this, and we'll be finished this morning. Adam passed down sin, but Christ poured out grace. Adam passed down sin, but Christ poured out grace. Let's take a step back and realize that all of these contrasts here between Adam and Christ that Paul is showing us here in the last half of Romans chapter 5, they're simply intended to prove the beauty of redemption. What Paul is trying to show us this is that we can be redeemed. We can be justified. Yes, each and every one of us are born into the bondage of sin. Each and every person here, you are born because of that sin, you are going to die. Adam sinned. Because Adam sinned, all man that was born after Adam now is born with the sin nature, and you cannot escape that sin nature. You can't be trying to be good enough. You can't accomplish this in your own strength. Religion can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Good works can't save you. Paying money, it can't save you. Nothing can save you. Nothing can redeem you. Nothing can justify you except what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross. You can't fully understand the goodness of the good news until you understand the badness of the bad news. You know, many people today, they don't want to hear that they're sinners. I've said this before, society doesn't like that word sin. You should be able to live whatever lifestyle you want to live, whatever decisions you want to make, and you should be able to decide how you want to live your life. That's what society says. But the Bible tells us otherwise. There is sin. The Bible does name sin. You can't just choose to live however you want to live and justify that and say, it's my life. I can live however I choose to live. No, you need to realize this, that you are a sinner. The choices you make, they are sin, whether you want to live that way or not. You can't go against the Bible and say it's right. The Bible is clear. Sin is sin. And when you go against the Word of God, you are sinning. And Adam passed down that sin, but we don't have to live in that sin. We don't have to live there. We can live in the grace that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Christ pours out that grace against that what Adam has passed down. The Bible says this, when the law entered, sin abounded. The law tells us that we're sinners. The law was not there to try to keep us to live, because no man can live up to the law. If you break one law, you break all of them. No man has ever lived up to law other than Jesus Christ. Nobody's lived a perfect life except for Jesus Christ. The law was there to show you that you can't live a perfect life. The law was there to show you that you were a sinner. The law was there to show you that you can't be good enough. And Christ came to show you that His grace can forgive you, His love can forgive you, and what He did upon the cross can give you eternal life. You see, Adam could eat of every other tree in the garden, but one. Did you ever tell your children not to touch something, and that's the one thing they want to touch? You put out all these toys or all these things, all the things that they can have, and they want the one thing you tell them they can't have. You put a baby and give them all the toys and they want to forget all their toys and go to the electrical outlet and put something in there when you tell them not to. Because we're sinners. Adam was given that same choice. You could have everything in the garden, but one thing. You can't have it. You know, that's the bad news about us and Adam, but there's the good news about Christ. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You know, if you were to go back and look where the word abound actually has, there's a Greek prefix there. It means hyper. And you could say this, where sin piled up, God's grace was hyperactive. It was even greater. It was more. There was no place, no person where their sin piled up that God's grace wasn't greater than all the sin that they have ever done. You know what that means? This, the provision is bigger than the problem. Aren't you so glad to know that? Your problem of sin is not larger than God's provision. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how much sin you've ever committed. God's provision is greater than your sin. He can forgive you and He will forgive you. Even though sin has far-reaching effects, God's grace, it reaches farther. When sin hit the high water mark, grace completely flooded the entire world. You see, there's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either living in your sin or you're justified. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either ruined or you're redeemed. You're either under wrath or you're under grace. You're either a sinner or you're a saint. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. If you're in Adam, Romans chapter 5, your life is characterized by disobedience, just like Adam is characterized. If you're in Christ, your life should be characterized by obedience, just like Christ's life was characterized. My wife, several years ago, she had this idea. She said, let's go see a Broadway musical. And I loved my wife, and so I went along with that. The only one we could find, I tried a couple different cities, and we could travel to where we were close to. The only one I could find was the Addams Family. And so I got it. She wanted to see a Broadway musical, and I got her tickets. And I was so excited, I said, I got you Broadway tickets. She says, what are we going to see? And she named a couple, you know, that she might want to see. And she didn't name the Addams Family. And I was a little puzzled. And I said, no, it's not your top three. She named a few more. I said, no, it's not your top six. She named a few more. And she said, I don't know if there are any more. I said, well, there is one. It's called the Addams Family. And she said, what? So I took her to see the Addams Family. You know what I found? They were one messed up family. And that was one messed up musical, one messed up Broadway show. You know, that was the point of the Addams Family. They were strange. They couldn't help themselves. They were in bondage. You know, if you and I were born in that same family, we're born in bondage to sin. And the only way that you can find freedom, the only way that you can be in Christ, the Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 5, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. The only way to be in Christ is to accept that free gift. He says it's a free gift of God's grace. Have you trusted in Christ today? Have you repented of your sins? Have you turned to Christ by faith and accepted the free gift of salvation? If you've not done that, you're an Adam's family. your sin, you will die. You will die in your sin. And for all of eternity, you will pay for your sin debt in a place the Bible calls hell. And for all of eternity, you'll spend there. But you don't have to spend eternity in hell. Because Jesus Christ came. Would you turn to Him today?